Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Intercom Communications.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Paula Dagnan. This week, we're going to find out about a fundraiser coming for the Griffin Pond Animal Shelter, what's happening in Jessup at the end of May. It's the annual carnival. We have the details. But first, we're going to start off by talking about our veterans. Next weekend is Armed Forces Day and, of course, Memorial Day coming up at the end of May. First, we're going to meet Bob Jordan. He is a chaplain with VFW Post 3451 in South Scranton. They, along with other veterans groups, will be gathering at Boscov's at the Marketplace at Steamtown on Thursday, May 23rd, to raise awareness and funds for veterans at the Gino Murley Center. Also, we're going to talk with Augie Barhite. He, too, has a group that helps out at the Gino Murley Center. They're called Rolling Thunder. They have a big fundraiser that's coming up in July. And again, it's all to benefit our veterans. Explain a little bit as to what's going to be happening at Boscov's, because you are involved with veterans and they are trying to help some veterans. Can you give us a little bit of an overview?
Well, it started last year. I'm not sure if Boscov's reached out to them or if they reached out to Boscov's for a fundraiser for their canteen account, I believe it is. That's what helps the veterans with, you know, some of the purchases and things like that. And also, they buy, I mean, most of these veterans are without family anymore. And sometimes it helps them purchase, like, little gifts for themselves. Or one of the things we were able to get them last year was a TV for the recreation room. When they reached out to Boscov's, Boscov's contacted myself. I know Irene Kelly pretty well. Boscov's has done an awful lot of help work for us. They let us sell our poppies there and everything during the month of May, which we'll be doing all May. We decided that everything would be okay and got the go-ahead from our commander. He said to just go see whatever you can do. So the ladies at the club that we work out of, they're a wonderful group of people, and they started getting together, and they started donating baskets, gift certificates, and whatnot that we have as a... We raffle them off there at Boscov's. So far this year, it seems like we're doing a little bit better than we did before because it's a little bit more known.
And we want everybody to know that this is actually taking place at the Boscov's in Scranton.
Correct. On the second floor, May 23rd from 11 until 2. You'll be able to park in the lower level of the Marketplace at Steamtown. You know, you just get your ticket punched, what have you. You get three hours parking. We're going to have, there'll be veterans there from the Murley Center, some of the older guys. There'll be myself and several other members of my post. There'll be other veterans organizations. American Legion, I believe, is going to be there. One of the American Legions, anyway, will be there. There may be another VFW post there. I'm not sure. But it's all, everything is just strictly for the veterans. Boscov makes no money. We make no money. Everything goes right to the Gino Murley Veterans Center.
Can you tell us a little bit about Gino Murley, Bob, as far as how many veterans? I know you don't have the number right off the top of your head, but there's quite a few that are in there. And as you said before, some of them are older veterans, and they can be able to get all kinds of things from the money that you're raising.
They are. And like I said, like you said, we don't know. I don't know the exact number of people that are there. Heck, I couldn't even take a guess at it. But I do know that one of the things, like with the Murley Center, is if you're a veteran and you're going there, or if your wife, your spouse needs to get in there, they take them too. So it's run by the Department of Veterans Affairs out of the state of Pennsylvania. And they're very nice about everything. And it's a well-kept place. It's nicely organized. They get several volunteers from the area. that go over there and help them. It's just a great place for retired veterans to go if they have to be in a home like that.
Well, I know in, is it July that they have the Rolling Thunder? And
yes, they do. It's a motorcycle group that they take a fundraiser. They raise a fundraiser.
So they, again, are helping to raise funds for the veterans that are staying at Genome Early. Now, when people come to Boscov's on the 23rd, what are they going to find there besides the baskets?
Well, they'll find some food. I think we're having Wimpy's this year. Wimpy's and maybe hot dogs, too. I'm not sure. We had hot dogs last year. There'll be drinks, coffee, soda, ice water, things like that. They'll have the baskets. There'll be raffles for lottery tickets. I know there's one of the organizations gave us $100 worth of lottery tickets and things like that.
So it sounds like, again, all you have to do in order to support. Plus, you mentioned the poppy sales, and this is the month of Armed Forces Day. And that's going to be held right before your event on the 23rd. That's the 18th?
That's correct.
So when you're selling the poppies, where will the folks find you at Boscov's? Inside, outside, up on the second floor?
Well, on that day, you'll be able to find people everywhere. Believe me. There'll be all, someone may be out on the street, someone will be inside Boscov's. Myself, I'll be down on the lower level of Boscov's.
So no matter where you go there, and what day are you going to be doing them, or just sporadic throughout the month of May?
Well, it's sort of sporadic during the month of May, but I myself will be there on Saturday and Sunday from 10 until 1 and 11 until 2, along with other people that will come in the afternoon. Other the American Legion, I think, has got it the following week or what have you. But on the 18th, we'll all be everywhere.
Oh, so that's another good day to stop by in order to help out the veterans.
Absolutely.
And Bob, when you're involved in something like this, you said you're the chaplain?
Yeah, I'm the chaplain of the post.
And what post is that?
The 3451, VFW Post 3451.
And that's in Scranton?
It's in Southside, right.
Well, thank you for your service. What was your military background?
I was in the Navy.
And were you a chaplain in the Navy?
No. Believe me, the chaplain is sort of a misleading name. My responsibility at the post is if one of the members dies, or veterans die, and they request us, we'll go and have like a little honor guard for them. I'll lead the prayers.
Ah.
And I lead the prayers at the meeting. It's, you know, it's just the start of leading the prayers. That's all.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you for your service and for the time that you are spending now. And once again, give us the details of what's happening on the 18th and the 23rd.
Well, the 18th is the Armed Forces Day. Several boroughs in the area are going to be having parades and things like that. We'll be out at cemeteries, making sure that the veterans have the flags on their graves. We take care of about 5 cemeteries in South Scranton. We change the flags over every year, give them new ones, have a little bit of a party for everybody. We do a ceremony at our memorial to Colonel Frank Duffy. We have that at Harrison Avenue. There's a brand new statue that we put there. We'll be there doing the flag raising, the normal military stuff that you would do at cemeteries or parades and things like that.
And then on the 23rd, you're at Boscov's at the mall at Steamtown.
That's correct.
And what time?
From 11 until 2.
And that's going to be on the second floor?
Second floor, up by the good place for it, the candy area.
Now we'll meet Augie Barhide from Rolling Thunder.
Augie, we usually have you here around the time that Rolling Thunder is getting together and doing a very big event that everybody knows you for, which is?
It's a Salute to Veterans ride, and it's held at Genome Early Center on Mulberry Street in Scranton.
And when is that?
Third Sunday in July every year.
So today you're in because you'd like to get more people involved in Rolling Thunder, in helping the veterans. What are you looking for?
Well, we'd like to see more help, like to get some new members if we could. We're a small group right now. We're only about 17 or 18 people. And I think we're one of the bigger rides in the area. And it's kind of tough. most of us are senior citizens anymore.
Not you.
Oh, trust me, I feel like it.
Some days are better than others.
Yeah.
So when you say that you'd like to get other people involved, what are you looking for? Are you looking for riders? Are you looking for volunteers?
Actually, both. I'd like to get some volunteers that are interested in helping the veterans. During the winter, we do 6 bingos once a month. And it's kind of nice. You get down to the Murley Center there, and you spend an hour, maybe an hour and a half by the time you bring them down from the rooms and take them back.
Oh, you actually go to the center and play bingo
with
the vets.
We sponsor the bingo, and we just give them a hand with their cards and whatever else they need at that time.
So, again, you're busy in the wintertime because the big part is in July, but you also had mentioned at one point in time when we talked that Christmas is very important.
Yes, it is. The money we raise in the ride in July there, that money's earmarked pretty much for their Christmas present. And it's nice. We go down Christmas morning, we pass out the presents. And usually it's something like a blanket or a sweater, a nice cardigan sweater. Or maybe a sweatsuit. There's a committee up there between employees and residents, and they decide what they need for that year. So everyone that's in the center there gets the same present every year.
Oh, okay. So it's not like you have to worry about, well, gee, I've played bingo with this gentleman the last week, and he mentioned that he'd like this or anything like that. So
No, we kind of let that stuff to the family. If they have family that comes in to see them. You know, there's some of these guys up there, they have no family coming in. I knew of one resident that family member dropped him off, and that was the last he seen them.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of hard. It touches you when you get up there and you see some of the stories.
And when you have the opportunity to go up and just going up and playing bingo, about how many people, you said you have about 17, 18, is it the whole club?
No, it varies. This past Sunday we had 5 people there. And one gentleman came in and he left early because he had a commitment. Yeah, you know, it's kind of loose for what we do there. But as a requirement for Rolling Thunder, we need to get 3 events in. So if we do our ride and 2 bingos, we've got our 3 events. Then all we have to do is make a few meetings.
Give us a little bit of the background of Rolling Thunder.
Rolling Thunder was started down in Jersey, I believe it was. That's where our national headquarters is. A few gentlemen, they wanted to make people aware of the POW MIA issues, you know, how many people were actually left behind and nothing was being done for them. So they started this organization in 30 years ago. They started doing a protest ride in Washington. And it started out with a few thousand motorcycles. And it's been as high as over 1 million motorcycles for that one day event. We take up the whole Pentagon parking lot, the north parking lot. And then now we've taken over the south parking lot. And there's another small overflow lot, we call it. And I've seen where all 3 lots were just jammed full and they couldn't put anybody else in. They just blocked the street and left the bike sit there until we got going. And it'd take 4 hours for everybody to get out of the parking lots and get through the ride.
Wow.
Yeah.
So compare that to what you folks do in July here. You get, for this area, you do get a great crowd.
We get a great crowd here. We get anywhere from 3 to... We've had as high as 800 motorcycles at one time.
Now, so, when we talk about the fact that you're looking for some volunteers, I think it's probably a good idea to point out that riding is not necessarily a requirement.
No, it's not. You don't need a motorcycle, and you don't have to be a veteran. All you have to have is the desire to help veterans and their issues.
And where do you meet?
We meet at the VFW on Main Street in DuPont, the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. We try and keep it informal. You know, I'm not a good public speaker. And
I think you're doing great.
I like to get it quick and simple and be on our way. We've all got busy lives. And
So when you go to the meetings in DuPont, then you have the opportunity to kind of plan out a little bit. And I guess one of the other things, too, I have to ask is, here you are. Do you have any of the ladies involved as well?
Oh, yeah. My wife, the vice president's wife, I think 5 or 6 women in our chapter right now. And they're pretty strong with it. You know, they keep us in line.
They probably come up with a lot of those good ideas.
Yeah, they're very good at that.
when we're talking about, again, the whole idea of helping the veterans, you focus mainly on Geno Murley Center in Scranton, or do you branch out?
Our chapter took on the Gino Murley Center 20 years ago. That's a requirement with Rolling Thunder. Each chapter needs to have a facility or a veterans base that they sponsor. You know, that's their primary help. When there was a chapter down in Hazleton, they would come up to the Veterans Hospital here in Wilkes-Barre. And, you know, we kind of worked together back then. And I don't know what happened down there, but they had folded. And we've been fortunate up here. You know, we've been as high as 200 members, and now we're down to 17 or 18. Hopefully I can build it back up again so we have a successful chapter here.
When we're talking about the chapters as well, so are you the only Rolling Thunder chapter here in Northeast Pennsylvania?
In Northeastern Pennsylvania, yes. There's a gentleman, he's talking about trying to start one down near Stroudsburg. I haven't really got much information on that yet. I'll get it as soon as he starts because I'm also the state liaison for Rolling Thunder.
Do you have a website, Facebook page? I know probably the national does, but how about the local?
Yeah, we do. It's RollingThunderPA3.com. And we're also on Facebook.
Just do a search.
Yeah, and it'll come right up.
I know you said that you don't like to keep people very long because that's probably one of the biggest things is time. But do you have a time requirement that you ask people, you must do this, you must do that kind of thing?
No, we have a few meetings a year and, like I said, three events, which you can do rather easily. We've got seven events that we do throughout the year. You know, we got six bingos plus the ride. And if there's something that comes up, Toby Hanna Depot, when they do the POW MIA Day, we put a flag one year and then a wreath the next.
So and Christmas morning.
Christmas morning, yes, that's a big one.
If somebody would just like to get involved in maybe that, could they just do that? Because I know it's just like many other organizations, especially on the holidays, they bring food to people, they, you know, that kind of
a
thing.
All they have to do is get a hold of me and we'll take care of it.
And what's the best way to do that?
The email is AUGIEBAR@comcast.net. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And I'll gladly get back to you and let you know what's going on.
Give us again, Augie, the place for the meetings when they happen.
It's the VFW on Main Street in DuPont. It's the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m.
And you did say you have six bingos. Are they random times during the year, certain months?
Usually it's the Sunday after our meeting.
So that way you can kind of take a head count and let everybody know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give the floor to you and the microphone. You just tell everybody who you're looking for, why you're looking for them, and again, why it's important that they should remember their vets.
I'm looking for anyone that has a passion to help our veterans, past and present, our POWs, our MIAs, and our primary goal here is to let people be aware that we have left people behind and we don't want it to happen again. Also, the riders, third Sunday in July, we're already starting to plan with Warhorse and people that are major sponsors in that to help us out here.
It sounds like you might get some help from the National as well, and maybe not as big as Washington, but you might be able to rival them with a couple of parking lots in downtown Scranton.
I hope so. Well, maybe National, they have their meeting the same day as our ride. So I hope they'll come in and
that
have
would
to try
be,
that. Yeah,
that would
nice.
Be great.
Yep.
Augie, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Augie Barheit for joining us and giving us information on how you can get involved in helping the veterans at the Gino Murley Center through Rolling Thunder. And also Bob Jordan for giving us the details on the upcoming fundraiser taking place on Thursday, May 23rd at Boscov's at the Marketplace at Steamtown. And of course, don't forget, many organizations are at Boscov's throughout the month of May selling poppies and of course, next weekend, next Saturday, is Armed Forces Day. So you'll want to stop by Boscov's after the Armed Forces Day parade that is planned for downtown Scranton, stepping off at 11 a.m. If you would like more information, you can check out the information on the Armed Forces Day Facebook page. Coming up, more information on fun in Jessup on Special Edition.
Welcome back to Special Edition. Once again, who said there's nothing to do in northeastern Pennsylvania? Coming up later this month, Dom Perini is here to tell us about the Jessup Hose Company No. 2 and Ambulance Annual Carnival. He's the general chairman of the event and tells us how it just happens to fall at the same time as the Race of the Saints in Jessup.
Dom. Big doings in Jessup.
Always.
And this is going to be when?
This is our 27th year. It starts May 22nd. It goes through May 27th, which is Memorial Day.
Exactly, because that seems to be the tradition.
First one out of the gate.
Absolutely.
Everybody's itchy. The kids are getting off the bus now talking about it. When the rides start getting on, going up, the bus stop is right at 2nd Avenue, where the carnival is. And you could literally sit in your car and watch the kids get out of the bus and talk about the show.
Parents must love you.
They, I don't know if they love me or hate me, but the kids love me.
Now, tell us a little bit about the carnival. I know, you know, people in Northeast Pennsylvania love their carnivals.
Well, we have pay one price ride specials on Wednesday and Thursday evening. That means you pay one price, you get a wristband, you ride all the rides all night long. It also happens on Saturday and Sunday afternoon, and it also happens all day Monday.
Oh,
we try to do Memorial Day to bring everybody in and really give, I mean, it's a $12 wristband that you ride all the rides all afternoon. Some of them rides, Paul, are $5 a ride.
Absolutely.
One single time.
Yep.
And, you know, you get to go on all the rides. As far as entertainment, we have a band every single night. We have adult beverages, which is very carefully controlled, fenced, the whole nine yards, so that the parents could feel safe of their children being separated from that.
Mm-hmm.
We have 21 rides, we have food, we have games, and the fire company makes their food homemade.
Ooh.
We make homemade porchettas. We cook about 35 porchettas. We make that in-house. We make tripe. I'm not going to say on the air what tripe is.
No,
but
because
if you Google it, you'll see what it is. But we make 80 pounds of that, and we sell it out probably by Saturday. And it's a delicacy. I could say if you like clams, if you like oysters, you probably would like tripe.
Yeah, just don't ask. Okay.
Just
if you're
don't
not
ask.
Sure.
Just don't ask what it is. And the fire company runs two stands, and we have clams. We have, you know, the standard hot dog, hamburgers. We have wings. We have boneless wing hoagie. We have boneless wings to eat. We have all the standard, you know, pizza, homemade pizza.
Oh.
And we just try to bring the homemade food special to the people. We don't want it to just be drop something in a fryer and here you go.
Well, that's probably why you've been, what this is what?
27
years. Yeah. So that's probably has something to do with it. That and the Race of the Saints.
Saint Ubaldo.
Yes.
And you know, it's very difficult to separate us.
It is.
Even though it's two organizations. St. Ubaldo is their own organization. They have a beautiful chapel on 3rd Avenue where the saints are displayed, and you could stop and you could see that. And the week of May 22nd, every saint has their own activities. They have a capo night, which is for their captain of the saint. They have their own get-togethers, St. Anthony, St. Ubaldo, and St. George. And each one of those saints have their own organization under the umbrella of the St. Ubaldo Society. And, of course, Saturday, the 25th?
I think
Saturday's
so.
The 25th would be the day of the Race of the Saints.
Oh,
and
so that's
it
on.
It starts at 7 o'clock in the morning with the buglers waking everybody up. And there's something throughout the day, like 11 or 12 o'clock, and I'm not sure the exact time. They'd have to look online. And St. Ubaldo has a beautiful website. And they throw the vases, mm-hmm. and they break, which are blessed, and you take a piece of that for good luck. It's called the Alsata. And they do that, and then they all go back to their own headquarters. They have lunch, and then they get ready to procession up and have the blessing to the start of the race at 5 o'clock.
It is such a tradition that people, they plan their vacations around coming back to Jessup for Memorial Day weekend.
And it's only held in two places in the world. Jessup, Pennsylvania, and Gubbio, Italy.
Exactly.
And Gubbio, Italy does it on May 15th, So if you went on the internet and you typed in St. Ubaldo Racing in Italy, you will get a link to watch that. Literally, it's broadcast live on May 15th. And then Jessup does it always on the Saturday of Memorial Day. And so you could plan your
Plan your vacation. Mm-hmm. So you could go to one. And then you've had people from Gubbio come here just
all
like
the
you've
time.
Sent
oh,
people
all
over
the time.
There.
And we have a group going over. Again, there's certain people that go over every year.
Right.
But I know for a fact this year that the captain of St. George is going over to be with St. George over in Italy, and he's bringing his brother, who is the Axeman, who knocks the pin out of the Saint, when they separate it and run up the hill. And he's going over to Gubbio, and they're going to represent Jessup with St. George and Gubbio.
And you must have people not just from Jessup who take part in all of these events, because you would have the culture and the tradition. Some people move out of the area. Some people move into the area, and you must get quite a mix.
All over. I mean, you couldn't even explain. You couldn't even sit down and separate it. If it was just Jessup, we'd never pull this off.
Right.
Even the help we get at the carnival, people help us. The karate school brings down their kids. The Boy Scouts bring over their children. The Valley View Junior Cougars come and help us. The Valley View School District National Honor Society is one of the major helpers of our event. And I'll say it publicly, without Valley View's National Honor Society, I would struggle for a waiter and waitresses. I would really, really struggle.
That's awesome.
But Valley View sends us their National Honor Society, and they help us immensely.
Well, and again, it just goes to show that there is so much culture, there's so much to be shared, there's so much for people to get together. Again, when does all this start?
May 22nd, Tuesday, May 22nd, Tuesday, through Monday, May 27th, which is Memorial Day.
And where? We didn't even find out.
We didn't say where.
People are driving around Jessup now going, where is this?
Well, here's what me and Johnny Lucas used to say, better known as Webster. Whenever you get off the Casey Highway, it's all downhill from there. So if you're coming from Carbondale, you're turning right. If you're coming from Scranton, you're turning left. It's downhill from there. It's the address for your GPS is 333 Hill Street.
All right. Dom, go ahead. You can do it. Invite everybody.
I'd like to invite everyone to Jessup Annual Carnival, 27-year running, very strong, very beautiful, and just come and have a blast, because that's all we want you to do is have fun.
Thanks, Dom. That's always a great event in Jessup. Coming up next, a great event to benefit the Griffin Pond Animal Shelter. Ashley Wolo stopped by to bring a friend to meet Intercom's Jason Barsky to tell us about the fundraiser and adopting a pet.
You can adopt a pet at an animal shelter. You will save a life, which will make you feel better. You can adopt a dog, rabbit, or a cat, bird, or even rat.
John Lucas there on the Animal Song. He is a heck of an entertainer, and I'm joined in studio, a special guest. Introduce yourself to everyone, because I want to make sure they know who you are.
My name is Ashley.
How do you pronounce your last name, Ashley?
Wolo.
Wolo. I was going to mess that up. That's
it's
why
like YOLO, but Wolo.
Wolo. Actually, Wolo, you're the director?
Yes, the director at Griffin Pond.
Did you know today was National Adopt-A-Shelter Pet Day?
Of course we did. Most definitely.
Okay. How do you celebrate over at Griffin Pond Animal Shelter?
So, of course, we invite everybody to stop up at the shelter, and we encourage people to adopt a shelter pet.
How easy is the process? Because I've worked in different places, and sometimes, you find that there are very strict regulations on who can adopt what pets and
Right. So we don't try to be super strict. Of course, we have to go through, the proper processes. We want to make sure that everybody is fit to be a good pet owner. But it's pretty simple. All you have to do is fill out an application. You could do that online. You can stop up at the shelter. We'll process the application. Sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes a little over a day, but it doesn't take that long. Once we approve your application, as long as you already have your pet picked out, you should be all good to go home.
How many animals currently are up at the shelter?
We normally have about 50 to 60 dogs and about 70 to 80 cats. Now that kitten season is here, the cat numbers have increased slightly, and they just are expected to increase more throughout the summer months.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure kitten season starts at my mother-in-law's house. It just seems like there are, she has multiple generations of cats in her yard. It's really, it's like our own little shelter, except people just sometimes come and take kittens off the porch. It's pretty wild.
That's crazy.
I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I mean, she takes them in, she gets them fixed a lot of times.
That's awesome. That's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing.
Yeah, but you brought a dog with us, with you today.
We brought Kanicki. Kanicki's currently up for adoption at the shelter. He's a young pit bull adult. He's good with other dogs. He's super friendly, and he loves attention. There's no better way to put it.
People have concerns when it comes to pit bulls all the time, but I know that if they're raised right, it's what the huge part of it. If you're a jerk raising any dog, the dog's going to turn out to be a jerk.
That's any dog. I mean, you could sometimes you see little chihuahuas that are more vicious than pit bulls. It's all about how they're raised, you know, training. A lot of the pit bulls that we see, especially Kanicki here, they're just giant mush balls. Like, they are just full of love. They just want to be, you know, given attention, and that's it.
Yeah, keep talking. I'm going to play with the dog.
Yeah, he's loving the attention. That's all he wants.
Yeah. Oh, I got a
kiss.
He's
such a good boy.
Okay, so what are the restrictions with this? If someone wanted to adopt Kanicki, is Kanicki good with children, families with children? Do you prefer?
So what we would do is if you have kids or other dogs or other animals, we always do a test before you take the dog home because, you know, we might see that the dog is good with, you know, certain kids or certain dogs. They might be selective. So we always test it out just to be sure that the kids and the dogs and the animals that you have in your home are going to be good with the dog that you're taking home.
Cool. He's a cutie. Years ago, I remember my mind was changed on pit bulls because I had heard what people say.
Oh, no. And it's like that people have their opinions. Sure. And it's, I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but pit bulls are, they're just like any other dog. I mean, like I said, it's all about how you raise them. It's the training, you know.
I think it's
any dog could be.
Yeah, my mom, I bought a Chihuahua years ago. Like, years, like 98 maybe I bought that dog, and that dog became so clingy to my mother, like no one could pick it up without throwing a towel over it first.
I must admit I have some of those. I have some of my own, and I also have a little pit bull, and the Chihuahuas are probably a little worse than the pit bull. And
granted, an angry pit bull would be probably worse than an angry Chihuahua,
right?
But still,
right.
It's how you raise them. So
right, exactly. And I think that people give them the wrong impression. Like, it's sad. It's very sad. But, you know, we're here at Griffin Pond, we're trying to change people's outlook on their opinions of this breed.
Yeah, my feeling is, I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, it's not like people come into your shelter and you force them to take a pit bull.
No, that's not it at all. Yeah, it's actually shocking because people will come in and they won't even realize it, but they're falling in love with some of our pit bulls, and they sometimes find themselves second-guessing it because we've seen people come into the shelter that have those opinions, and they'll end up leaving with a pit bull at the end of the day. You know, it's crazy.
Talking to Ashley Wallow.
Wallow,
sorry, from Griffin Pond Animal Shelter. What is this big event you have coming up? It's in May, correct?
Yes.
Rocky from KRZ, who I think you guys know, he's always over at the shelter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rocky's great.
Bad. John Lucas volunteers, too.
Yes,
but
he's
nothing
awesome
like
too.
Rocky. Rocky's crazy involved with your shelter, but he was telling me you have an event coming up in May.
Yes, May 19th from 3 to 7. The doors open at 2. We have our mega prize bingo. So usually we do a purse bingo every year, but we decided to change it up a little bit. So we're doing mega prize bingo. We have some awesome prizes, some raffle items, things like overnight stays to local casinos. We have tickets to the Rail Riders games. We have so much, and I would love to name everything that we have, but you're just going to have to get some tickets and come check it out.
Okay, that's cool. If someone wanted to donate a prize, how could they go about doing that? Through your website? Or
they can actually contact us either on Facebook, they can call the shelter, they can stop up at the shelter. Prizes are definitely welcome. We can use everything that we can get.
What else does the shelter need as far as volunteers, or do you constantly ask people to bring in food to help? You know,
yeah, so we're
what can you use right now? If someone's listening, like, well, I don't need to adopt a pet, but I'd like to help.
Yeah, so, you know, people always question, you know, how they can help. We're always in need of volunteers. We're always in need of fosters, especially now around kitten season. We're always in need of wet cat food and wet dog food, and kitten food. Kitten food is a big thing, especially right now. So wet kitten food, kitten formula, kitten dry food, cat litter, things like that.
Yeah, again, my mother-in-law said, "All I've been living there for like a year and a
half." Well, we understand where she's coming from.
You have no idea what I'm coming from. Again, thank you for coming in. Today is National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day. That's why we have you in here, and I thank you for coming in. You know, kind of, sort of. No, very much last minute.
Well, thanks for having us.
And I'm happy to have you guys on, and hopefully we can do some more stuff down the road. And
yeah, definitely.
What is the website for anyone who wants to get more information? Maybe adopt a pet?
Yeah, it's www.griffinpondanimalshelter.com. Or like I said, you can visit us on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Any backstory here on Kaniki or no? I'm guessing you would tell me if you already knew it.
Yep, no backstory. He did come in as a stray. Like I said, he's super sweet. We did discover he's good with other dogs. He loves the attention, as you can see. He can't get enough of it.
Right. Again, Ashley Wolo from Griffin Pond Animal Shelter. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks again to Dom Perini for giving us the update on the upcoming Jessup Hose Company No. 2 and Ambulance Annual Carnival. And also Ashley Wolo, Executive Director of Griffin Pond Animal Shelter, for bringing along her friend Kaniki to introduce him to Intercom's Jason Barsky. Give us the details about their fundraiser and about adopting a pet. This weekend, it is a day to celebrate mom. Modern Mother's Day began in the United States in the early 20th century by a woman named Ann Reeves Jarvis. The modern holiday first celebrated in 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in West Virginia. Her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday began in 1905, the year her mother died. It was in 1914 that President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation that designated Mother's Day be held on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers. But consider this. Anna Jarvis turned out to be not very happy about the way that the holiday is remembered. By the early 1920s, cards began appearing, and she said that it exploited the idea of Mother's Day, and the emphasis of the holiday was on sentiment, not profit. She argued that people should appreciate and honor their mothers through handwritten letters that express their love and gratitude instead of buying gifts and pre-made cards. In 1923, she protested at a candy makers convention in Philadelphia and at a meeting of American War Mothers in 1925. She became so upset that she was arrested for disturbing the peace. Just a little bit of the history of this Mother's Day weekend, of which we hope that yours is happy and less dramatic than Anna Jarvis's. Now don't go away. More Special Edition to come.
Here's something you don't hear enough nowadays. Thank you. Thank you, Governor Wolf, for stepping up at a critical moment.
Your newly proposed rules to curb methane pollution from existing wells and infrastructure will have an enormous positive impact on Pennsylvania families.
Without these rules, those we care about will be exposed to pollution linked to smog, asthma, and cancer.
Call Governor Wolf at 717-787-2500 and urge his continued push to enact meaningful and effective methane regulations.
Federal law enforcement in the Middle District of Pennsylvania are dedicated to making our communities safer, and your help is making a difference. I'm United States Attorney David Freed. As the Chief Federal Law Enforcement Officer in the Middle District of Pennsylvania, I want to ensure all families feel secure on our streets. That's why we launched Project Safe Neighborhoods in October 2017. We've taken guns off the streets and charged violent criminals menacing your communities. A lot of these cases were made possible because of neighborhood support, people who reached out to us to report criminal activity. Our commitment to those who come forward is simple. If you see something and say something, we'll do something. In turn, we pledge, we'll be here, in your neighborhood, with your local law enforcement, working together to build relationships and deter crime.
The 2019 Scranton Catholic Charismatic Conference will be held August 2nd through the 4th at the University of Scranton. The theme for this year's conference is, O Lord my God, I cried out to you for help and you healed me, from Psalm 30. Speakers for this year's event include the Reverend Raymond Francis, Patrick Rice, Dr. Mary Healy, and Bob Valiante. To register or find out more, call 570-344-2214 or go online to ccrscranton.org.
Don't go away. Now on there's Special more Edition, Special Edition, an upcoming competition for local playwrights. Lou Bisignani, you are a busy man. Always have something hopping, something going, and now you're looking for people to write. What's Actor Circle have going on that they're looking for plays?
Well, we've done this a number of times in the past. This is probably the fifth time we've done it over the last 25 years. We're soliciting submissions from anybody in the area for original short plays. A short play is one that runs maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And we will we'll have a committee that will read all of the submissions, and we'll hopefully, you know, pick out 5, 6, 7 of them that that we feel are pretty good, and we will put them on at the theater for one weekend and let the audience each night vote on the best plays, rank them, you know, 1, 2, 3. And the first prize is going to get, I think it's $50, yes, and the second prize is $25, and third prize, they get some free tickets to other shows. But it's not the prize money, it's the idea that you can, you know, see what you have written on its feet up on the stage with the actors. We'll supply the actors, we'll supply the directors, although if a writer wants to direct his own play or her own play, that's fine too.
So what is the time frame of this now? But I would think writing something, even 10 minutes, is going to be some time-consuming thing.
No, you may already have plays. There's writers out there. We have a writers group that meets every Saturday, for example, at the coffee shop on Spruce Street in downtown Scranton, Northern Lights. And a lot of the stuff that has been written in that group or for that group or by that group has been presented on the stage at Actors Circle over the years a number of times. We even have a website up on YouTube where we, you know, videos that we've taken of plays that were done by. See, the stuff that we write, the stuff that the local writers write with their permission, is not copyrighted, so we can put it up for a permanent viewing on YouTube. Now, there are certain restrictions, and by the way, this, if anybody has any questions, they can call me personally at 570-906-0919, or go on actorscircle.com. And they'll see the rules, you know, for this contest. 10 to 15 minutes in length. There has to be only a minimal set and properties. I mean, you know, you can't have an escalator in there or something like that, you know. With 3 or less characters, and it has to use family-friendly language. We want to have kids come, too, you know, if they want to come. The play has to be submitted to Actors Circle by May 24th.
When you say a play, Lou, do you mean beginning, middle, end, or could this just be a snippet from a longer play that you've written?
There are short play competitions are done all over the country, but a 10-minute play ordinarily has a little story to tell. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end, as you said. You might say, well, it's not the same as a 3-act play.
Right.
Where you introduce all kinds of subtext and so forth. This is just an occurrence, an event, a happening. And yes, it's a real little story. It's a little story.
And you also mentioned the group on Saturdays. That sounds like something that anybody, just somebody who wants to dabble, can get involved in?
It doesn't cost anything to join. You can come or you don't have to join. You can just come in on Saturday morning. We're usually there between 10 a.m. and we last until about 1 o'clock. On Saturdays, every Saturday, and Northern Lights. It's a coffee shop. It's right on Spruce Street, right across from the Courthouse Square.
And the name of the group?
I named it years ago, and I have many regrets. It's called Northeastern Pennsylvania, and you don't have to, when you're going on YouTube, you don't have to write Pennsylvania, just write P-E-N-N-A. Writers Collective. Very long name. After you do it a couple times on your YouTube, though, and you just start typing it in, usually it knows what you want.
And you've also been, Actor Circle is Lou Bisignani.
Well, in a sense, a gal named Mary O'Brien, who lives down in Annapolis now, but she and I founded the group, did the very first play, The Crucible, at a building that's been knocked down by the University of Scranton now, the old Jefferson Hall, back in 1982. I had always wanted to do the Crucible, and the couple of local groups that I worked with were interested in doing it, so I said, let's put a call out, and we had a bunch of people try out, and we did it, and then the people who were in it said, what are we going to do next? And I hadn't even thought that far. I was like, what? A gal named Agnes Cummings, who was in that group at that time, very well known in the area as an actress, a very good actress. She directed Sly Fox. That's how we were off and running.
And now where are you?
Well, in 1984, we rented a space in a building on Providence Road, 1256 Providence Road, yes, in Scranton. We enlarged the stage that was already there. There's a little balcony. There's, there's restrooms already there. So it's a clubhouse for the Queen House Society, and they're downstairs, and we've been upstairs since 1984.
The Providence Playhouse.
Providence Playhouse Road. That's why we call it Providence Playhouse.
And now you have had so many productions that over the years, I mean, it would take us days just to be able to go through all of them.
The average we do between 7 and 9 plays a year.
That's very ambitious. But you do have some things that are coming up now.
And our shows run 2 weekends ordinarily, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. There's one more show of our season. Our season runs from September to June for plays that they have been on Broadway or just off Broadway. Our next show is one, and it'll be the last show of this season, is going to be Tuesdays with Maury, which is written by Jeffrey Hatcher and Mitch Albarn. And a lot of people have read the book. They come to see it, and they're going to come and see it, and when we tell them about it, they say, oh, I've just read the book. And that goes up the very, very end of May, May 30th, 31st, June 1st and 2nd, and then June 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. Again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2.
And you have something that you're working on. We can't tell them everything about it.
We do original plays in the summertime quite often. And I'm currently writing with a friend of mine, Ted LaRusso, who's very good writer and a good director. He's directed a number of shows for us. We're together cooperating to write Sherlock Holmes and the Whitechapel Murders, which is an original Sherlock Holmes. So we can do this because it's in the public domain, because Sherlock was in the 1880s into the 1890s. So we're using, but Sherlock's in it, Watson's in it, Mrs. Hudson's in it, and it's Jack the Ripper, Sherlock against Jack the Ripper.
And when does this go up?
Oh, that doesn't go up until June 27th, the very end of June, and it's only one weekend because it's an original play, so we'll do our Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for one weekend. Sometimes we do these plays and then we tweak them after we see them in production. We might maybe a year or two later come down and then do it again.
The people who would like to get involved in the writing, that's going to go up when?
The short plays, they'll probably be very late July. I think it's July the 26th, 27th, and 28th, but that's when the plays are produced. The big thing for the writers, who are hopefully are aware of this now and are listening now, is to get their play into us. We have to then call through. If we get 25 submissions,
right,
we'll pick out the best 5, 6, 7, of plays, and our committee will, and they'll be done at the rehearsed and produced at the theater for an audience at the end of July.
And when's the submission due? The end of May, right?
Yes, May 24th.
May 24th. Now, if anyone has any questions, you folks do have...
Yes, actorscircle.com.
Okay.
And so, but we do have an Actors Circle Facebook page, I guess. And of course, if there's any questions about anything, they can always call me, 570-906-0919. Lou Bisignani.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. A production of Intercom Communications.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.